morning, everybody. It's Tuesday, July the 5th, 2022. This is the Fakeologist Show, Dog Day Edition, Dog Days of Summer Edition. How's everyone tonight? We do this show Sunday through Thursday between 8 and 8:30. And you can call, this is a call-in show, by the way. You can call the numbers on your screen. Numbers on the screen are 810-666-1984 or 902-400-1984. How's this mic coming through? Why am I not hearing myself loudly? Am I loud in the... I turn it off. Am I louder now? Let me just stop this. 2212. 2212. 2212. Why am I not hearing myself nice and loud? If you can hear me, if I'm coming through loudly, let me just... Oh, I see. Now I'm okay. Okay, I got different level. I got levels problems. Here we go. Tuned up a bit. Sometimes they're off. Alrighty. Anyway, we're a call-in show, so you can call us 902-400-1984, 810-666-1984. Pear is second in the chat. Stupid's first. Tunak second. Pear third. Welcome, guys. Thanks for joining. I know you have other things you guys could be doing with your time, but thanks for joining on the Fakeologist Show. I don't have a lot for you tonight. I don't know why. I do know why. I got up late. Late start today, so I didn't really do a ton of research. I'll tell you what I did listen to. I listened to Sanity for Sweden. That's Stefan. He's really good. You guys like Stefan? He's going to be a regular here. Dirty Benny, hello. You're in the chat. Hello. And do we have anybody in the FakeoTube chat? Let me just have a quick look. I must have closed the FakeoTube chat. FakeoTube is alive and well. And I will load up the FakeoTube in a new tab. There we go. FakeoTube is now in its own window. What else did I do today? Listening to the No Agenda Show. No Agenda Show, value for value model. Fantastic. Lost Spider Phallus is in the house. Hello. Jacquois is in the house. Jacquois, you were a guest on the show before. Come back if you want. Jacquois is another Canadian. Not too many Canadians. What else we got? I finished Choose Death, an abortion movie, anti-abortion movie. That was interesting. And I'm going through Cult of the Medics. Cult of the Medics. Any of you guys watching that? That is really good stuff. Joel is going out for dinner tonight. He says he might join later. His wife, Sarah, is not going to make it on. And what else? Today I talked to Uncle Odd. Uncle Odd is going to be making weekly appearances on the Fakeologist Show. We made an arrangement for that. I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch the Uncle Odd show with Marcus. What's going on here? Hold on a sec. Just made my screen too large. What the hell? Oh, Oh, I see. I pressed F11. Okay, I'm going to shut off the music now. Thank you, Oil and Parsons Project. Thanks a lot. So Uncle Odd will be showing up once a week, probably next Tuesday. Let's go look at the calendar real quick. Calendar. Let's bring that calendar up for you to take a peek. Go to fakeologist.com/live. You will see my calendar. And I'm going to move it over so you can look at it here. So there's the calendar of upcoming shows. So today's Tuesday, July 5th. Now it's pretty much auto created here. So this is the schedule. So today is no guests. Tomorrow, no guests. Thursday, Marcus Allen Super Show. Saturday, Rick and Rollo. Sunday, July 10th. That is this Sunday. Sanity for Sweden's back. I can't believe it's been a month. And then you can see Tuesday, July 12th, Uncle V. That's going to be weekly. And he's already booked Max Freeman, who is the founder of Epic Cash. Now, as you may or may not realize, Epic Cash is the lead donor, I guess is the best way to call it. I don't want to say sponsor because I don't really have sponsors, but it's the lead donor of FakoTube, as you can see here on the top, Epic Cash. If you click on this link, you'll go to the Epic Cash Telegram channel. So you have to have Telegram. So that's your show schedule. So it does change. So if you want this show schedule to show up in your own Google Calendar set, you can do that. You can just add this calendar. Don't ask me how, but you can add it. I'm not too sure. I haven't really done it in the past, but I know it's pretty easy to add this to your list of calendars. And what else? We got Mr. E July 18th and Mark Tokarski on July 20th. So you can see how this works. We have a couple regularly scheduled events. I was supposed to have Tiago sometime, and we were supposed to do Jacques Waugh, call in. Go for it, brother. 810-666-1984-902-400-1984. And I was going to get we're going to talk to on Tiago's Facebook site, where we were going to talk about what's it called? Silent No More. That was his site. And we were going to talk to I Will Be Silent. Oh, that's a shortcut. How did I create that? I Will Be Silent No More. And what's this? Interview with Silent Voices. So did he? Oh, I see. He did an interview. Was that, who was that with? Was that with me? So I can't see it, of course. I don't know why. So this is Tiago's group. So we were going to do a show just talking to his members. And Tiago, I guess I can ask Tiago to call in. Send him a quick message here. Call in if you wish tonight. So we only have an hour show here. So guys, if you want to call in soon. Vela said, or Tiago, call in. Yeah, you want Unreal on the show? We can get Unreal on the show. Let's reach out to Unreal. Well, what can we do tonight? Yeah, you know, I spend a lot of time on Twitter. I don't know about you guys. I could literally just go through my Twitter feed and talk and talk and talk. So why don't we take a look? Oh, here's Jacques. Fakeologist, hey Jacques.
Hey, it's Jacques. How's it going, buddy?
It's going well, Jacques. How's things in
good.
How's things in Oh, we got Tiago. Hold on a sec. Fakeologist, y'all.
What's going on, my man?
Hey, not too bad. Listen, I just had Jacques call in just a second before you. You're too fast. I didn't think anyone would call.
Oh, yeah.
Can I get back to you? Because I think I can only do one call at a time unless you want to come in on the back door. If you want to come into the, what do you call it? The studio link. You want to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll come in on a studio link. I'll be right back.
All right. Hey, Jacquois.
Hi, how's it going, buddy?
It's going well. You know, I asked two people to call in. You guys both called at the same time. What are the chances? But at least the phone lines worked. That was pretty cool. Hey, when I put you on hold, what did you hear?
Beep, beep, and then a pause. Beep, beep, and then a pause. Just that and ongoing.
You didn't hear the show. Okay. That's a technical note.
Correct.
You're supposed to hear the show, I think.
Honestly, I'm patient, and I'm sure it was fine. Like, yeah.
All right. Well, wow.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we have
I sort of went on hold, and it was cool. Yeah, don't worry about it.
All of a sudden, we have a full house. So how you been? I think we talked a couple months ago. So let's...
I believe it was August of 2021 last time I called in. I don't call into shows much, so I probably have a better recollection than you.
Well, what do you think is going on in Canada? What's your assessment right now, COVID-wise? What's your take?
My assessment has been the same as it's ever been, but I want to give some context to it.
Okay.
The past couple months, I haven't really been paying attention to the news. I haven't been watching Fakeologist. I'm watching Canada Poly. I haven't really paying attention to any of the, mainstream conspiracy kind of stuff. I haven't really been paying attention at all. And frankly, every time I turn on the news, I can see right through it all because, as you remember, as I'm going to repeat, my principles remain the same, and I start from the bases. Yes, the base axioms here, and that's the trivium. And so when I see a new dumb story about monkeypox, I'm trying to think of what the fuck is even going on. Sorry for the language. I'm trying to think of what's even going on in the news. The gas prices and the food shortages, it's no different than the COVID deaths, the bears deaths, the fucking nuke deaths, the 9/11 deaths. It's
yeah.
The exact same methodology of lying, and I figured that out. So I don't really have to pay attention too much anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You'd probably be healthier to ignore what's going on.
Yeah, and to be fair, I've been a little bit more busy, but I am kind of curious. Like I tune into your show. Like, I probably only get once a week, usually the super shows. And if Tiago's listening right now, Tiago's been one of my favorites for like 4 months. I absolutely love his insight. I love the way he talks. He's very diplomatic. He's very patient. And just the whole way he operates and what he has to say, the information, I fucking love that guy. So props to Tiago if you're listening to right
Thank
now.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tiago, and who knew? I just randomly saw you in the chat and then I thought of Tiago at the same time and then I put a quick request in and boom, you guys are both here. Is that instant karma or what? Is that what John Lennon was talking about?
Well, probably.
Right. If you don't mind all this, I'm going to jump right in. I'm just going to close with something. I'm not a guy who wants to be the star of the show or anything, you know, but
no,
it seemed like you didn't have any guests.
No. Actually, it's great that you called in. I like new voices and I like new commentary. So yeah, just keep talking, man. You're doing great. So
I'm kind of an old school voice, you know, it's my second time calling in and all. Really, I'm just reciting fucking knowledge as far as I'm concerned. It's thousands of years old. It's just getting people to pay attention to me is a real issue.
Yeah, I agree. So, do you like the financial stuff that Tiago brings to the table, or you just like his overall demeanor?
The financial stuff specifically, yes, it's very interesting. But his overall sort of outlook on things in general is more in line with how you and me and, you know, certain other individuals there's a certain way of looking at things that I can appreciate when others see it in the same way, that sort of open-mindedness. Not this bias-laden, sort of logically, fallaciously defended sort of beliefs that people stand behind. Like, you can tell that you guys are at least, even when you say something that you believe is true, you sort of word it in a way that's open-minded to the fact that you might be wrong. And I can't think of any specific examples, but I know that's the case because I frankly wouldn't be listening and liking you guys if you didn't do that.
Well, that's pretty good, Tiago.
No, it's appreciate it. I like, I'm like you, Tim. I like hearing new voices. It's great to have Jacquois on here. And I love different angles. I wish more people would call in, to be honest. I find myself quite boring, but I thought nobody would be paying attention to me with, the boring financial talk. But I'm a little bit surprised, the reaction in terms of the financial talk, but well appreciated, Jacques. Thank you so much for the compliments. And, I really do wish people like you would call in more often. And, I love listening to other people and other people's views.
Well, now that I got two Canucks on, Canadians, because I always complain I don't have enough Canadians, why don't I go through a couple bullet points for you Canadians to comment on? I just posted, I think I posted something. Oh, yeah, it was in the, I don't even remember where I post because I have too many places to post, but the Fakeologist forums in the coronavirus hoax section and under the Canadian Trucking Convoy forum, I posted an interview with Pat King. What do you guys think of Pat King, that he's still in jail? Does this excite you like it does most Canadians, it seems, on the Twitter? Or are you outraged like I am? Go ahead, Jacques.
May I start?
Yeah, go.
Yeah, I'll start. Well, right away, like, just the way you phrased the question is a loaded question.
It's
like, are you outraged or is this, I don't even remember what you said, but like it was two things, like, are you outraged or is this, how did you phrase it?
Yeah,
but it seemed like you only gave me two options.
You're right. I steered you into my way of thinking. That was very tricky, very deceptive. Okay, I gotcha. What?
No. I don't mean that you were tricky. I'm just pointing it out as I move forward because people do this all the time. Natch, I do it too.
Yeah, you're right.
Just to be clear. Yeah, it's sort of like, hey, you didn't say please, and then you carry on the conversation. It's just sort of like you produce two alternatives. So I'm going to present a third, that he's a shill, and the whole reason he got arrested is because the whole point that he's just going along with it. If they tried to arrest you with me under the same circumstances...
Yeah, you're a little muffled, Jacques. I think your beard is in the way of your thing. Can you fix your mic?
Yes, okay. I'm on speaker.
Okay, you're better now.
How about I just came off speaker. How's that?
No, you're good now. You went muffled for a second. Okay, go ahead with Pat King.
Also, sometimes when I get excited, I talk fast, so that might have also...
No, I think you just changed the direction, but go ahead. What do you think of Pat King?
Fair enough. I think Pat King is controlled opposition, and I think the only reason he's able to be arrested is because he's going along with it. I don't think they could arrest me or you, or frankly, anyone listening to this call or what I'm saying right now, because I think anyone listening to my words right now knows the law and knows they could fucking get away with it. Because we've all been in stores. We've all done the mask thing. We've all circumvented sort of mandates and such. So we all know how to do it. And yet Pat King doesn't. So either they're making an example of him because he's the greatest guy ever who's telling the most truth, or he's working in tandem with them. And I'm erring towards the deception.
Okay, what about Tamara Litch? And then I'll let Tiago comment.
Same exact thing. Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah, sorry.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
I wanted to get both because they both seem to be the top of the opposition. They drag her from, did they take her from Medicine Hat and fly her back to Ottawa? Is that what happened? I can't even, I think
the bottom
that's
line
it.
Is that they're both in the news.
Mm-hmm. So both controlled opposition in your mind.
Name a non-controlled opposition that is in the news.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Tiago, do you have a take on these two guys, people?
Well, I mean, to me, to Jacques, I think most people listening who have been listening to this podcast for quite a while, this is not a surprise. We predicted this. We predicted that the leaders, or so-called leaders, the faces of the February Ottawa convoy were going to be jailed. I stated this 2 weeks before it happened. This is not a surprise. So either one of two things, either Jacques is 100% on where it's controlled opposition, and their faces are, plastered, especially Tamara Litch, her face is plastered all over the news, the last few days.
Yeah.
Or they're truly political prisoners, which is even more of a shame. Which one is it? Are they controlled opposition or true political prisoners? I don't know. I don't know these people from a hole in the wall. I've never met them. So it's difficult for me to say. But if it is the latter, where they are true political prisoners and they're not controlled opposition, it's a pretty sad state of affairs here in Canada. But Jacquois might be 100% right. These people might be controlled opposition, 110%. And this is nothing but theater. Yeah, it's hard to say.
I'm trying to bring
nice it. See, this is why I love Tiago, man. I love that response. That's perfect. That's excellent.
The Tiago Show, totally now Tiago. On my Sunday through Thursday.
And there's a shout out to Dirty Benny. Thanks, Dirty Benny. You're a class act as well, and man. And maybe one day we'll have a dating show on Friday evenings.
For sure. Well, there's an open-mindedness that I would like to admit that I have, that I could be wrong. And partially, I can kind of even hope that I am wrong, because maybe it's not as bad as I think. If I am wrong, I don't know. But, like, I'm open-minded to being wrong, but, like, if I'm wrong, it's fucking still terrible.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Tiago did call it. You did say Pat. He almost seemed like he was asking for it. He was sort of provoking, and he certainly had some massive numbers on his Facebook live stream. We're talking 25,000 people. That's more than I think the national news probably gets.
Right. Well, there's probably 100 pieces of evidence and zero proof, and that's where it comes to belief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the
how much do you like the guy? How much does he emotionally influence you? How much does he make you laugh when you're listening to him? How much of the times you nod your head and going, "Yeah, that's right," or "Oh, finally, someone else is saying this." Like, he's saying all the things that everyone wants to hear. Fair enough. I mean, I'm trying to do that too. I'm trying to influence people by saying things that they want to hear, because, well, don't we all do that?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't all get paid for it.
Yeah,
but it's obviously happening. I mean, whatever. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm fucking crazy, right? Crazy conspiracy theorist, you know what I mean?
Well, I think one thing all of us can agree on, I have the sneaking suspicion, the big feeling is we don't trust none of these characters. At least that's my standing on it. Well, that's the one thing I do know, is I don't trust any of them, whether it's Tamara Leach or Pat King or, you know, whatever character that you want to bring up. That's currently being publicized in the media. So for me, I don't trust any of them as much as I don't trust the government, of course. So it's, you know, I'm always watching with a third eye and you know, looking at it from a non-trusting point of view.
Right. That should be the main stance, because it's just the reality that there's so many lies going on that you really need the baseline. And the baseline is prove it. And then once you establish, you know, a history of non-lies, maybe we can start to believe and trust again. But for right now, given the state of the world, this needs to be a hardline stance with an objective way to establish and verify truth and proof. Mm-hmm. And until we're able to even define what that is, I mean, the few people that can define it, I think of myself as one of them. Call it ego or call it me being correct, but I can elucidate it. I can explain it. I can elaborate on it. I can show, I can describe it very well, better than anybody else who tries to tell me their fucking truth. It's like, don't you listen to the news? Don't you understand how to just read a fucking science book and go back to grade one? It's like, come on, people. Like, we need to get some kind of objective baseline.
Well, one of my guests, Jürgen Vollrath, says he knows Tamara Leach because they live in the same town, small town, Medicine Hat. And he said she's the salt of the earth.
Yeah, I get a lot of fucking texts. I was at the fucking Columbine shooting. I know a cousin. Yeah, like, we know the drill.
Well, no, I don't know Jürgen either. Jürgen seems like a good guy, though. I'm just saying he knows of her.
Well, fair enough. I could have met Tamara Leach in Ottawa, and she could have shook my hand and gave me a hug and fucking gave me a fucking, I don't know, maple syrup fucking cookie. And I could have fucking thought she was great.
Yeah,
who gives
true.
A fuck? That's the logical fallacy.
Yeah,
appeal to emotion. Sorry, I'm being a little ranty. My apologies.
No, it's fine. You don't need to. Don't be a Canadian. Stop apologizing.
I get passionate sometimes, and it turns people off, and that's just the reality. So, like, that's something I'm sort of working on and just the everyday world. Like, you don't want to walk around as an arrogant prick. But when you know fucking what's going on and 97% of the population has no fucking clue, it's hard not to be arrogant.
Well, I agree. But you're talking to people that speak your language here. That's for sure.
Fair point. Exactly. So
we do agree.
There's a balance I'm trying to work out. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So
yeah, we're all on your side.
Like, anyone listening to me is insulted. I don't mean it like
that. I want to think that these two are the real deal. But of course, that would be going against my own principles.
Hey, fair enough. And I think that same kind of like exactly what I'm saying needs to be applied to me. Don't trust me if I can verify what I'm saying. Think about what I'm saying. Like, how does it make sense? And apply that to everybody, because I could be lying. I could be the controlled opposition calling into the Fakeologist show to try to make people think Tamara Lich and Patrick King aren't the heroes that, you know, they actually are. Like, there's a methodology to establish this. It's not about belief. It's not about who you like. But whoever you like, I fucking know you're listening to me.
The reason why I'm asking you guys is Pat King was trending today on my Twitter. I don't know if it was on your Twitter. And almost every tweet was against the guy. Lock him up. Leave him in jail. So that's quite interesting to me. Now, I don't believe that most of the Twitter trends are genuine either. But I did click on some of these people that are against. Well, most of them are against Pat King. And most of them look like real Twitter handles. I don't know if you guys do the same thing. Look at the Twitter profile. Actually, when you hover over it on the computer, it brings it up. And you can see, are we looking at a Twitter bot or a troll? This guy says Pat King's vile history wasn't enough to keep convoy organizers away from him. So, you know, this seems to be a real guy. He's got 13,000 followers. Probably a real person.
When did this stupid convoy start? February? I know right from the start, as soon as they hadn't even reached Ottawa, I'm asking around. It's like, well, who's the organizers? Who are the organizers? No, it's grassroots. Blah, blah. And organizers.
Yeah, you were against
it. And it wasn't until And it wasn't until 2 to 3 months later. Now, you're even talking as if it's just like common knowledge. Of course there's the organizers. It's like, well, where were these answers when I was screaming it at the start? Like, it's like, it's the same methodology I use. Like, if you can't diagnose it right away, like, there's no point, because diagnosing it 3 weeks later is too late.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's definitely got it seems like most of the Twitter people are against the guy, which is, is that formulated?
Again, it doesn't even matter. What if all the Twitter people were for the guy, it wouldn't matter. That's irrelevant information. Like, who cares what potential bots or even real people, like the majority of people are fucking idiots. That's what the whole conversation is about.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the case? 97% of the population don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, they just go the way they're steered. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Tiago?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there's a, you know, Jacquois makes a valid point, and I think what it boils down to is emotional thinking on, the mass general public. I think too many people have emotional thinking. They're not, they don't have critical thinking. They don't take a step back and look and try to look at the whole picture without being emotional. They get, quite wrapped up in the Pat King and the RV rolling down the highway all excited. And and it's hard, you know, we're all proud to be Canadian and all this kind of stuff, but sometimes you got to step back maybe, and Jacquois is right. You got to step back and look at this like a nice cold investigator and, take a look at it with a magnifying glass. And, you might be surprised what you find.
Hmm. What do you guys think of James Topp, the guy that marched across Canada? I'm going through all the people that are, and then we'll get off this topic in a minute. So I'm just trying to.
I'll answer first because it's only two words. Same response. You, Tiago?
Well.
Yeah, it's hard for me to say because I don't know these people, right? So you're, to me, when you say these people's names,
yeah.
Yeah. When you say these people's names to me, they can be like Hollywood actors, right? They're in the media. You know, they can possibly be starring and casting in some kind of role that we're not really aware of in the background. The only real way that I think that I would, you know, kind of believe this is if I knew the guy personally, if Jacquois, you know, if one of his friends was marching across Canada, and Jacquois knew the guy, Jacquois knew him for 20 years, then I would believe it. It's a real guy. And even then, you don't know really what's going on in the background, even though you might know the guy, he might be one of your neighbors. So it's one of those things, these kind of political type casting and cinema it's very difficult to figure out sometimes.
Because you see, when people manner up, I think you were done. Can I say something?
Go.
Yeah.
Okay, because it seems like when people are faced with that decision of, well, you can't trust anyone, rather than think, okay, let's scrutinize all the information, they think, okay, let's choose who to believe. And it's the lazy decision. I do it all the time, but like, that's the problem. Because the reality is, you can't know if people are telling the truth. Like, I can't read minds. Maybe there's people that can read minds, but I can't read minds. So you can't know if something's the truth. So there's a method to verification. And yes, it can be exhausting to have to do that with every new piece of information. And so people don't. And here we are.
Okay, well, let's move on to the next piece of Canadiana thing that was posted in the Fakeologist forums. Mrs. Fakeologist actually posted this. Vaccines required every 9 months in Canada as they change the narrative to fully updated or up to date. What do you guys think of that?
I'll let Jago go first.
Yeah, more poison in your body. You know, monkeypox, 6,000 Torontonians received the monkeypox the other day. Now they want more, more of these booster shots. It's, you know, look, if you're dumb enough to go and get this, all these, you know, needles like my neighbors over here in my local area, in my immediate area, you're nuts. You absolutely, like, you haven't clued into what's going on here. And I used to feel sorry for them. Not anymore. If you're on the fourth and the fifth, plus the monkeypox, you know, plus your DTaP, plus the double flu shot, and it's like you get what you deserve, man. So that's just the way I see it. Yeah. And I don't know.
Jacquois? I take it taking the vaccine into your life?
Well, definitely not. But the way I'm thinking of it is like COVID and the whole vaccine thing, like they're kind of done with it. Like they're going to like sort of vacillate a bit between having mandates and not. But I really do think that it, as far as COVID and vaccines is over, it's just the ramifications of the response, i.e. the hyperinflation that's coming, that will be the new quote-unquote COVID/narrative, whatever. Like, you know what? They might try to bring back masks. They might try to mandate vaccines. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, and I'm obviously ready for it, but that's kind of the problem, is that all the conspiracy theorists, the ones, the real ones, or whatever you want to call them, or the contrived ones from all this controlled opposition to the COVID narrative, I don't think they're going to be, if they just pull fucking some bullshit out of their ass, whether it's aliens, whether it's earthquakes, whether it's hurricanes, whether it's fucking mole people, like all the people that are questioning the vaccines and refusing the masks will be fucking putting on goggles to avoid the fucking sun because the mole people are fucking need 24 hours. I don't know if you've been to any of these protests or rallies in regards to COVID, but like, honestly, if you say anything non-mask related, these people have zero critical thinking skills. Like the 3% of the population that would even listen to a podcast like this, like there's like 3% of them, well, let's say the protesters or whatever, that can actually like talk like us, I suppose, and actually like, you know, separate the subjective and the objective. Like, I've gotten emotional a couple times and started to talk fast during this conversation. That's the subjective sort of, either it's passion, anger, however I feel about the topic, right? It changes my tone and stuff, but I'm aware of it and I can like, you know, apologize for it, rein it back in and sort of get back on point. The average person is fucking, they don't even fucking know what the hell you'd be talking about if you even tried to explain this. Like, objective means object, subjective, subjects, concepts. Like, geography is a subject, an object is a fucking ball, whatever, like a bouncy ball, whatever. Like, even just trying to explain it simply like that, like this glazed over look you get from the general population, I mean, it's a massive uphill battle, but we need to realize that's what it is and start from the basics because, well, if I'm not illustrating my point by now, you'll never get it.
I get it. I get what you're saying. Well, so you have been to protests and have you actually tried to engage with some of the people there? Is that what you're saying? And you're not finding too much intelligent
for about a year,
life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I frankly thought when I showed up to them, like, frankly, I thought 97% of the people would be like me, you, and Tiago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's simply not the case. Like, if lucky, 3%. Like, there's really, like, I can literally name off, and I, you know, I've got their numbers and I'm friends with them. Like, the five people out of the literally hundreds to, well, you know, 1,000. Like, I mean, whatever, just
yeah.
That I've interacted with over the past, since this all started. Like, the. But, you know, maybe my standards are too high. Fair enough. But, like, I can at least define my standards.
Well, it's at a protest, how do you identify who to talk to, really? I mean, you'd have to put up the sign saying...
You just have...
You just
talk to people and you walk up to them and you say, hey, so why didn't you fall for the lie? What differentiates you from everyone else? Oh, yeah. You got to hear these fucking answers. Oh, I've just always been a critical thinker. And it's like, oh, I can just tell when people are lying. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And it's like, I've listened to, and they just name certain voices in the controlled op movement. Like, when you actually ask them the questions of how they figured it out, as opposed to everyone else, because they're happy to say, I'm smart and everyone else is dumb. They'll say that all fucking day. But if you ask how they figured it out, they're completely dumbfounded. And try it yourself, fucking. My challenge, get ready to feel like, you know, this is much worse than you think it is, this problem. Because if you think we got like hundreds of thousands of critically thinking protesters going to Ottawa, supporting truckers and donating money to GoFundMe or whatever the hell, and support giving Tamara Litch rewards or whatever her name is, like, right. It doesn't even matter, like, I'm telling you, man, the average person at the protest, not the average person. I'm talking about the average person at the protest. And yeah. I had very specific questions, which I'd be happy to tell you what they are. Like, just even right there, just like, what separates you from the other? And can you define critical thinking? You'll be shocked at the responses. You'll be fucking so disturbed at how horrible we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe it.
But nobody asked these questions.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you the questions in a sec. Tiago, did you want to weigh in?
Yeah, I've been to a couple of protests here in my local community, and it's the same thing. I mean, people of our kind I've stated this before, very small percentage. Of how people of our kind who think like us. Now, you know, some of them are nice people, but I think maybe they might be missing a little bit of that critical thinking component. It's not all there, their breadth of fakeologists in them is not fully awakened. They're only kind of like awakened to the, or almost pseudo awakened to the COVID narrative. But yet they're carrying around at the same token a Ukrainian flag on their car. So these are the dichotomies that I wrestle with, that I see, you know, these people having. But Jacques is right. It's a very small percentage. It's not, you know, our kind, very, very small pool of people on the planet. Very small. Very small niche.
And sorry to the radio live streamers. I forgot to turn on the live stream on the radio. So if you're listening on the radio, you're listening to an old show. Now you're listening to the live show. So sorry about that. A little technical glitch there. Most people are on YouTube, though, and most people are on FakoTube. Well, the other thing is, before we get to those questions, is there are the smart people, the smartest people are the ones that are ruling over us. Let's be honest. They're not, they're a select breed. We have to give them credit to crawl on top of us.
Correct. And
so they're on the top. So if
I agree,
and I think they would probably most like to recruit the very small people that are super critical and know what they're doing. They'd rather recruit them than try and fight them. I would guess maybe bribe us or bring us on. But I think we're probably a bigger group because only so many people can do the ruling. But we're probably sort of an equal balance on the other side. But the psychopaths are super smart because they know, like you do, that most people are stupid or lazy or
well,
not
that's
interested.
The thing. They didn't have to. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't have to learn how to get over their emotions. They never had that problem to get over. They had a huge advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think...
You know how hard it is to get over biases? It's extremely difficult.
Yeah, also, don't forget also that these psychopaths that we talk about, yes, they're intelligent, absolutely, 100%. They've been around for generations, their families, but... The one thing that differentiates them from us, from our kind, is they have no empathy. We're talking about malignant psychopaths with zero empathy. And that's the people that they recruit. So intelligence, yes, it's important, but you cannot have in these positions, you cannot have a highly intelligent person who has very super empathic traits in them. You can't have that. That's something that does not mix with these people. So what they look for is super intelligence, yes, but also zero emotional empathy. So basically malignant narcissists with psychopathy. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. Can you teach that? can you teach that? Can you maybe just say here, go kill a couple of, small animals and we'll see what you're see if you can deal with that kind of thing.
Well, there's clearly many leaders in the world that are clearly, I would say, mid-rangers or higher levels, what I call higher level narcissistic personality disorder. The gentleman there from the Prime Minister of England, the UK, he's one of them. The President of France, he's another one. Angela Merkel is another one. These are all malignant narcissistic psychopaths. They don't have emotional empathy. So it would be very difficult for me as, let's say, for example, a central bankster to tell Jacquois or to tell Tim to create havoc and destroy people's lives in their nations because you guys have empathy. You guys probably, from what I'm hearing, you probably have a high level of empathy and you probably wouldn't do what these people are asking you to do based solely on the high empathic traits that you have over your narcissistic traits.
Jacquel, what questions did you ask some of these protesters? Now I'm curious.
Oh, the questions. I believe I already said them. Those are the two main. Well, I can add more, but the two ones are, frankly, are you a critical thinker?
Right.
Everyone says yes. And then you ask, can you define critical thinking? That's all you need to know.
Oh, okay.
And you'll see. Ask five people and you'll see what I mean.
I got you.
Like, you don't need to believe me. I'm telling you what question to go ask and you can prove it yourself. You'll see what I mean. You'll be like, oh, shit. Ask 10 people. Ask, do it like I did and ask a couple hundred and you'll see why I stopped going to these fucking protests.
Right.
And why I didn't support the convoy because it's the same problem. You got to get to the base axiomatic beliefs that people have and you need to eradicate those. Like, we all can do this internally and you just start from objective truth verification. If you can't prove it, I know how to start a fire. I don't need someone to an expert to tell me I can do it with a piece of plastic and a fucking apple. I don't care what they say. It's not possible. But like, there's a practical way to test claims. People can tell me, hey, you tried this flint. They can say, use this stick and blah, blah, blah. Use this lighter. Use this apple. Like, it's a, all the reasons to believe the apple are the reasons that people are believing the bullshit. And once you can define how they're doing that, the way that they're lying, once you can do that, like, the lies just don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's teachable. This is what the trivium, logical fallacy, this is what logic is. They teach university courses in this.
Yeah.
Like, critical thinking is essentially being able to come to a conclusion without a contradiction in reasoning. Because a contradiction in reasoning is a logical fallacy. If somebody's using a contradiction in their reasoning, they're lying or they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's one or the other. And as soon as you know how to detect them, that's all you need to know. You don't need to know who's right. Everyone's trying to figure out who's right, who to believe. No, no, no. That's the fucking fake wrong goal here. You just need to be able to recognize when someone's lying and or when they can't prove it. And then everything will fucking fall into place.
Mm-hmm. Diego, do you agree?
I like that.
Oh yeah, now I know I was going to ask you. Where did you learn the trivium? Where did you decide that that was the way to decode?
I believe it was initially from Dell from Beyond the Imaginary Curve, and from him I heard. I might have been a buzzword that I heard, or it was a friend of mine who had told me to watch Mark Passio's Natural Law seminar, and he also got into the trivium. Mm-hmm. And when she started actually looking for the trivium specifically, like both of these, Dell not so much, but Passio gave references for them. There's, I forget the sister, Miriam Joseph, I think it is, who one of the most prominent essays based off it, that's sort of a primer to the trivium. And, you know, there's a lot of other people like Jan Irvin, I think his name is. I can't think of a lot of names off the top of my head, but there's a lot of references for it when you're looking for it. It's kind of like if you know someone who's pregnant, you see the pregnant people, or if you buy a certain type of car, you see it. When you know what the trivium is, like, it's not a method to be used. It's how people learn. It's a description of how we learn. So when you learn it, what you realize, it's a recognition of that's how you know anything you've ever known, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not telling you something you don't know. It's describing something you already know in words that you can relate it to others.
Yeah, Dirty Benny says Mark Passio was the one that alerted him to it.
Right. And I got a lot of problems with Mark Passio, like certain beliefs that he has, but that's irrelevant because exactly what he teaches is don't believe me. You don't believe how many times he said that. Do not believe what I say. Dell does the same thing. Do who, not believe what I say. Who, I say the same thing. Do who, not believe
who
me.
Who is Dell?
Verify it.
Who is Dell?
I don't know his last name, but Beyond the Imaginary Curve, BTIC. He's been against... If you don't know who he is, you don't know who he is.
No, I never heard of him.
You ask me who I know. Fair enough.
Beyond the Imaginary Curve. Anyone in the chat?
Honestly, if you could ever get him on your show, I would fucking promote the shit out of that and listen to it. Oh, man, that'd be fucking awesome. That'd be amazing. Anyone I referenced before, like Kristen Nagel, the Canada Poly, Mark Paralovos, like that was awesome. I love those shows that you did.
Oh, did you?
But if you were to ever get Dell on your show, oh, my God, I'd fucking love to hear you talk to him.
I'll have to investigate him. Here he is, Beyond the Imaginary Curve. So I'll subscribe to him. And I will make this show note number one. Show note number one. As you know, I'm trying to enumerate my show notes.
Let me tell you a little something about Dell. And I'll tell you about Dell by, you know, what you already know about me.
Okay.
I like you and I like Tiago.
Okay.
You probably all listen to the way I talk and the criteria I have for defining sort of whether somebody's worth listening to or not. Okay. I have a big ego. I think I'm a critical thinker. And frankly, I think I'm smarter than most people. Dell, I've been listening to since about late 2017. And I, as scrutinous as I am, have not been able to catch him contradicting himself. In fact, that's the same thing for Tiago, and that's the same thing for I'm a fakeologist here.
Oh, nice.
I haven't been able to catch you contradicting yourself. I'm always looking for people making contradictions. And when I point them out, they either get mad or they, you know, acknowledge it. If they acknowledge it, I start to like them. If they get mad, I ignore them.
Okay, good.
But I've been listening to Delph since 2017, and that's rare. So I would, that's, yeah. Like, I would say I even model myself off him. Like, I've tried to debunk anything that he's sort of, he doesn't make claims. He's like you guys. He says opinions based off experience, based off fact. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah. Anyways, I don't want to go on and on. This isn't like a, you asked, but I'm very passionate about him. He's good. He's really good. And that's,
is his,
I can
main
only
thing,
think of three people off the top of my head.
Is his main thing so, flat Earth? Because maybe when I see flat Earth, I just switch
from
off.
From what I understand, no, his main thing about flat Earth is that flat Earth is a psyop right from the beginning. That the Earth's not a ball, but that flat Earth is a psyop. And he's been saying that since episode one. If you go to his earliest episode, he's been saying it. So I'm not saying he's not controlled op, but I'm saying if he is, he's long-term. And so long-term that he's still in the phase of being honest. Maybe he'll betray us all in a couple days or a week. I don't know, but I'm pretty scrutinous. I mean, he's either duped me, like the most scrutinous person I fucking know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, again, I'm like, I might be trapped in a belief system for a charismatic YouTube guy since 2017. It's possible. You ask me who I listen to, those are the two main ones, Mark Passio and Dell. And, well, you. And yeah, Giacco, looks, of course. I like
Giacco. Cool. It looks like
it's only when he's on your show.
Thanks, buddy.
I like Giacco. He's awesome.
That's cool.
Especially being Canadian. I like you guys.
Where are you from? What you know? What province are you in?
I'm in Ontario. I'm in London.
Oh, cool. Right on. Excellent.
Home of the
like
cricket plant.
Dell's in Scotland. I'm sorry. Yeah, the cricket factory, exactly.
Yeah.
So like Dell's in Scotland, Mark Passio's in Philadelphia, but like, you know, you're near Toronto, as I understand. I'm a fakeologist. You're in the Maritimes, Tiago. That other guy, the Eyes is watching over in Vancouver.
I love that guy. Like,
yeah, he's good. He's really good. So
where's he been, actually?
Canadian people to
he's gone quiet.
No, he does a weekly... he got booted off Twitter. He's banned or whatever. So he still does his Rumble shows like once a week.
Okay.
But anyway, it's still fine. It's pretty in depth. And he's got a good personality. He's funny. He's fun to listen to, but also informative. He brought up that cricket factory last episode. I was laughing. I was like, I fucking called this back in 2020 because they brought that stupid cricket factory in the exact same municipal meeting where they brought in the mask bylaw. Like, obviously, I'm the only fucking person in London, Ontario actually listening to this bullshit. But anyway, if they had the insect thing, I was like, insects, sustainable development goals. Like, this is in July 2020, right? Like, this is how far fucking people are behind. They don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, I didn't get an alert from Eyes is Watching, so I'm going to have to download his last two. Here's one, and I'll make this show note number two. Eyes is Watching, very, very smart guy. He does a fantastic video podcast. So he puts all his, everything he's saying, he puts to visuals on the screen. I don't know if he's doing it all, but if he is, it's a lot of work that he puts into the show. So that'll be show link number two, Eyes is Watching podcast. Highly recommended that.
Yeah. And to be fair, like, you know, I just want to make this clear. Just like, you know, if anyone thinks I'm a shill, good, good. You're critically thinking, great. If anyone thinks the three people I named are shills, great, good. You're critically thinking. Now go listen to these people and then use that same skepticism with them. Mm-hmm. Like, don't just, even if you hate me, like, I'm an arrogant prick. I know that. I'm working on my rhetoric, the third stage of the trivium. I'm doing like, I'm not, it's not my best stage, you know, but I'm learning. And so, fair enough if you want to dismiss these people because of me, but if you think there's something I'm on to, I'm just saying I got it from, well, not so much Eyes is Watching, but Dell and Passio. Yeah, it's all about the trivia, man. Like, fuck those guys. Those guys are no different than me. They're presenting information that they, that this is not,
this isn't something like, I don't know how to describe it, like either interested or you're not. And unfortunately, like, you can't make people interested.
Yeah, I'm very interested in trying to decode what's going on, so for sure. I never really thought of it as the Trivium, but because I did look at the Trivium on the guy that did the the John Taylor Gatto breakdown.
Yeah.
That guy
was... I mean, it's a rose by any other name kind of thing. Like, if you're looking for God, and you, like, I would call God truth. So if you're calling God truth, you want to worship truth, you want to pursue it, you want to worship it, you want to sort of represent it, right, kind of thing. Every single religion, whatever their God is, you can replace it with truth and you can see what they're trying to say. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's the same thing with the Trivium. It's a rose by any other name. Like, call it whatever the fuck you want. Call it Gishna, call it fucking Jesus, call it Trivium, whatever. It's like, I don't want mean to like compare it to those, but like, if you wanted to go to computer terms, you can go like input processing and output. Like, if you got bad input or bad processing, the output's going to be bad, right? Mm-hmm. Incorrect information or a bad processing unit. It's the same thing as the books you're reading, the information you're taking in. You're taking it in from the MSM and you don't know how to discern it. You don't know how to detect logical fallacies. That's your processing unit. And you're going to be spewing out shit like most of the fucking population. Sound familiar?
Right.
Like, there's many ways to put it. You can put it like knowledge, understanding, wisdom, fucking grammar, logic, rhetoric, grammar, logic, rhetoric, actually, which most people listening might know from public school, be like, reading, arithmetic, and writing. It's esoteric. It's just a way to, it's just obfuscating the truth of it all, what's actually going on, which we all know, we just need to be reminded of, which is how we actually know what we know and why we believe what we believe. If you can figure those two out, gold.
Yeah, we haven't talked to you in a while since last year. What are you witnessing with vaccine death and damage? I try and ask everyone now and then on that topic. Do you have any evidence something is happening in that department?
I can't differentiate between actual side effects and just sort of my perceived bias. So I got the default to, I don't know. What I do know is that I haven't gotten it, and I know some people that have gotten it, and like it's a crapshoot. I don't know. For all, like, I'm not closed-minded to the possibility that every single vaccine was saline water, and that the only thing, actually, I got this probably from IPS, which, you know, I'm not going to say it's true or not, but at least gave me that sort of option to consider, is that the only thing in the vaccine was a schism.
Yes, yes, that is his biggest line. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that is the case. I'm saying I can't rule it out because I haven't been able to verify a vaccine injury. And the idea that I could use VAERS, a government document from a government agency, to verify anything is laughable. Mm-hmm. But that's exactly what's happening. This cognitive dissonance of, you can't trust the government and all the doctors are lying because VAERS said so. And it's like, if you can't even see that fucking, that's what cognitive dissonance is. You can't see it. Because you can't separate the subjective from the objective.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I don't even know if VAERS is government. I think it's a self-reporting system. Might be administered by the CDC, I believe, which is sort of a... I know it's a government-funded agency, and we don't trust the CDC.
Right.
So, yeah, I do see it. It is a problem. It is a problem, and that's why they run the opposition, too. They run the fact-checking. Makes sense that it's they cover all their bases. Makes it a huge problem to knowing. Mm-hmm.
I'm a fact checker. You're a fact checker. Tiago's a fact checker. But like, too many people are looking for the correct fact checker to believe. And that is the problem. But it's hard to define it because the problem's between the lines of the act of the manifested problems. I don't know how to word it any better than that.
Yeah, knowing is a problem. It's really a problem. That's why I asked if you had any personal, if you witnessed any personal.
Correct, yeah. I have not personally
known or verified. Suspected here and there, but I know too many people that are vaccinated that I can't verify. I mean, no, there's, I can't verify it. It's all word of mouth. That's exactly why I never run around and tell people the vaccines are dangerous, because I haven't verified shit. And then again, just like every fucking psyop and every bullshit narrative, I can't prove that nobody's been hurt, but I can't prove anyone's not been hurt. And I have to say, I don't know. You know how hard it is for people to say, I don't know?
Yeah, I've heard that before too. It is difficult.
Once you learn how to do it, man, you have no idea how empowering it is. Mm-hmm. Mainly because you can see when other people can't say it, and then you know they're fucked in the head. They're biased, is what I mean, fucked in the head, is in they can't discount something. They got some thing in their head that they can't let go of, so they just sort of know certain things. Like dearest of all. It's like as soon as you're trying to have a conversation with someone about climate change and they believe the earth's a ball, it's like, well, what's the point? You might as well talk to them about fucking the molten core and when it will explode. And yeah. If you're not a baller, it's a moot conversation. So if you can get stuck in these fucking dumb conversations that, well, you got to circumvent the whole conversation because there's like a million baller arguments you can have. You just got to be like, it's not a ball and you need to move on. Or at least like, there's a base point there that needs to be addressed. I don't know. I'm trying my best to word it, but this is the whole problem. This is why 90% of the population is brainwashed, because it's so hard to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but we all know it.
Yes.
It's just hard to put into words. Not all of us, but maybe all of us, but at least us. Like we understand it. We just, how do you put it into words, right?
Yeah, it's really hard to explain anything that we know to people that have no idea that something else is going on, for sure. They're unapproachable.
Sorry, I feel really feel like I'm in dominating this and rambling. My apologies. I don't mean to.
That's okay.
No, that's good. You have to get it out. Where else do you talk about this kind of stuff? Are you on forums or? I mean, you have to be able to get your point across to people that understand it. Otherwise, it doesn't go anywhere, as you found out.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, you know, like 100% of what I said tonight, I got some people in my life that might understand 40%, some other people that might understand another 30%. And I'm more than happy to talk about this stuff with strangers, but I try to set it up correctly so that I don't seem insane, right? Like,
yeah,
I'm getting better at the rhetoric stage, to, you know, set up the conversation so that you're agreeing on some base principles and then you can sort of make a point that's inarguable and just watch how they react. Like if they react all emotional and stuff, you can kind of back off. Like it's a bit of an art form and it's slow and it's boring. It's not boring. It's fun. But like it's hard. It's hard to not lose your cool.
Let me bring up one more Canadian before we close out. What do you think of Mark Friesen? He's the only one of the very few guys that talks about the United Nations Sustainable Development, the Club of Rome, all these guys that want. Do you guys believe that they are trying to depopulate through the vaccines, for instance?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all I can do is speak for myself in my own area here.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen
mm-hmm.
firsthand these vaccines causing real damage to
yes.
people. I've seen it firsthand. No doubt about it. I've seen people. I've seen my partner, her grandbaby, fully talking. Hey, Tiago, what's up? He's 5 years old. He wants to play games with me, and I literally saw him in 1 hour and a half. Go from normal talking to never being able to speak again after a flu shot in an hour and a half.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's
90 minutes. 90 minutes.
And you knew right away in your own
mind? I knew right away. I told him what was wrong. I said, my partner brought him in carrying him. He was limp. He looked like he was dead and he wasn't talking. He wasn't coherent. And this was after a flu shot. And we took him to the emergency room. And all they really did for him was give him Tylenol. 3 months later, he was diagnosed with autism. He's autistic.
Terrible.
So, yeah. So I seen this in real time. Like, this is, I don't need no, you know, no studies to tell me that vaccines don't cause autism. I've seen it in real time in 90-minute time frame. I talked to Freddie Pye, went to his house here in North Sydney. He was a 37-year-old roofing contractor. He's a big boy, very healthy guy. Within 5 minutes after taking the Pfizer vaccine, he can't stop shaking, uncontrollable shakes. He's had 2 strokes already, and it's incredible what I've seen. Like, it's just so, you know, do I think this is a depopulation thing? This has been probably an ongoing depopulation thing for many years. It's not just the COVID vaccine. It's all the iatrogenic medical treatments that have been killing people, yeah. All the different types of vaccines that have been hurting people. So, you know, this has been going on for a while. It really, you know, we don't trust the government. Our kind doesn't trust the government. We stated this earlier on in the show. So to take a warp speed vaccine, you have to be warped in the head. That's my analogy with these people. So when you bring up Mark Friesen, I like the guy. I think he means well. He's got good intentions.
Yeah.
But he's got delusions of grandeur if he thinks that, you know, he can make things, him and, what's her name, Laurel and Tyler Thompson can make it, happen through politics. Because I hear him talking a lot that, you know, they want to run and the PPC and all this kind of stuff. You know, those are magical. That's magical thinking. That's, you know, nothing's ever going to come of that. There's nobody that you're going to put in Parliament here in Canada that's going to make any significant change. This is a criminal organization from the top down. So to me, is he a nice guy? Yeah, he seems like a nice guy, good-hearted guy. But I just think he has, you know, a little bit of, you know, magical thinking. That's all.
And there's also Théo Fleury that is in the feed, yeah, as well. There's another guy that...
But
are you following these guys, Jacques?
Yes, I am following them. Yeah, I'm aware of them.
And what do you think of Mark? Worthy of
I like Mark. I like Mark. I love Mark. He's taught me a lot of things. I've learned a lot from him. His references are spot on. I trust him and I believe him. You know how many people I feel that way about that I've never met?
Very few. Yeah.
Bottom line is very few.
Yeah.
Which sets off alarm bells in me and makes me be extra scrutinous. But you know what? The guy, as far as I can tell, other than the fact that he still believes in voting, is pretty squeaky clean. So that might just be either his whole shtick, just to keep people in the sort of paradigm that voting matters. Fair enough. There's your control dot. But, or he's playing a long con to just buy into some stupid fucking narrative later. But the bottom line is I like him and I trust him. Like, who cares if he's going to lie later? Who cares if he's lied now? He's given good information and that's reason to listen to him. If he's giving bad information, you should be able to sniff it out. And if you can't, you shouldn't really be listening to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like his information. I don't know too. I can't even think of maybe one or two other people, maybe Ron Valiant, that are talking about the United Nations Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, Club of Rome, Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs, limits to growth. I was just looking through his posts on Twitter as you were talking, and I didn't even realize limits to growth has a 30-year update version. I have to look at that one, see what their 30-year update was, because I think that was from the 90s.
Oh, well, that, like the WEF is... Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Yeah, no, sorry. The WEF, the update was 2004.
The bullshit about the WEF being all control, like being the big baddie, like, that's way too mainstream, but like not many people are connecting it to the UN SDGs, the partnership from 2019. I think I heard about it from Friesen. I mean, I verified it, but like nobody else really talks about that. It's more like, ooh, Bill Gates is bad and Klaus Schwab, the WEF, World Economic Leaders, and they name Trudeau, like all these really fucking annoying politicians. Like nobody likes a politician, but like the really annoying ones were all the WEF members. But like you don't hear about Tedros being a war criminal in the MSM, but you hear about, you know, Klaus Schwab being a Nazi, right? How come you only hear in the negative about one when they both teamed up because they had the exact same goals?
Right.
Mark Friesen's at least pointing that out. So I admire that and I like that. But I mean, just you got to be on the more on your toes with those you trust and like. So I'll tell you one thing. I don't trust and like Anderson Cooper or Tucker Carlson. I right. don't. So I just dismiss everything they say. It's not even any point in even listening. Mm-hmm. I might do it as a test just to like train myself on how good I am at detecting logical fallacies. And I can catch like 10 in 2 minutes. So that's fair enough. I can do that. But like, I don't like or trust them. So they're easy to dismiss, but it's easy to like and trust somebody like, I don't know. Just any of these non-mainstream people that people listen to. Like, we all got them. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have them, right?
Mm-hmm. All right, Tiago, you have any closing comments? We've been going about an hour.
No, it's been great. It's actually been great listening to a different point of view, and I'm glad Jacquois called in and fellow Canadian.
Well, we've asked him a couple times.
Yeah, no, it's been great. It's honestly, I wish people like Jacquois would really, you know, call in and come and be interviewed, because people like me, I love listening to all these different views and the way, you know, people think and learn something. I get to learn something. So it's, for me, it's fantastic. I try to take as much from other people as I can. So it was a pleasure being on here with you, Jacquois.
Thanks. I got a big shit-eating grin because I like you so much, and hearing you say that makes me kind of happy. Thank you. Appreciate
Thanks, buddy.
I've been listening. Yeah, I've been listening to you for a while. So yeah. Okay. Thanks. Cool. Cool.
That's yep.
And thanks for having us on. I'm a psychologist. Appreciate it.
Well,
or at least thanks for having me on.
No, I appreciate you. You coming on as well. Do you have any closing comments yourself? Or
no, just thanks for being on. Thanks for listening, everybody.
No, I appreciate that. I'll have to probably do a reconvening with Mark, because I know he still does a show every day. Mark Paralov, or the guy you recommended?
Yep, I've been listening to him a couple months just because, I haven't really listened to much of anybody. I catch maybe one of the shows a week, maybe two. So I've had a bit of falling out from the paying attention to the conspiracy world sort of scene.
Well, yeah, you got to take breaks unless you're broadcasting. Yeah, I can see it does get tiring. It is wearing on your psyche a bit to keep discovering and a lot of negativity.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm pretty much caught up to speed. Like whatever you say is going on, I don't believe it, so it's no difference.
Yeah,
pretty much, right?
Yeah, it's. It's pretty easy. Auto hoax all the way, man.
Auto hoax or get the fuck out, man. That's my favorite. Fucking, that's one of my favorite sayings. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a song. That's good. All right, Jacquois. Yeah, thanks for calling. I'll let you go now. So we'll talk to you next time.
All right.
And we'll see you in the chat.
Thanks. Sorry for keeping you along. Yeah.
No, it was great. No,
and Tim, we'll do that thing on Sunday for my Facebook group, okay?
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. That's yeah. Exactly. Let me make sure my cat. I think the calendar is cool here. Let me just look at the calendar.
Yeah.
And, Sunday. Oh, actually Sunday. Okay. What time? Cause that'll be a busy day. Cause I just look at my calendar. Sandy for Sweden is at 2 p.m.
Sunday or Monday. Doesn't matter.
Can we do it Monday?
Yeah, absolutely. We can do it Monday, whatever you want. Doesn't matter to me.
So that, are we going to do a test run before just to make sure we can connect?
No, it'll work for sure. I just got to make you an administrator on the, on the group, and that's it. And then you go live on your own, and I call in like I did today. That's it.
Okay. So that'll work.
That'll work. Yep.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't mind just, we could even do it after now if I could just make sure it connects as an administrator, if you want to do that.
We could do it. How about we do it on the weekend, like Saturday, or, you know, I'll give you a message on Facebook, and then we'll do it then.
Yeah. Okay. And, maybe.
We'll sort it out.
I just want to make sure it connects. Yeah. Because your group is pretty big.
Yeah. Well, it's up to 8,500 now. So we're almost going to crack the 10,000 here in the next month, I think. So.
And then you're going to be on high alert.
I'm going to be on right? The. I have no idea. Maybe who knows? Maybe they might come after me then. Who knows? I don't know. But I look at it as from 10,000. I look at it. Let's go to 100,000. So.
So you are one person that thinks the vaccine is doing major damage. You don't have any question.
100%. Yeah, I can tell you. I've seen it. I've seen it in my real life here. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. 100%. No doubt.
And all these stories as a fakeologist that you post of these people dropping dead and athletes, are you pretty comfortable that they're real stories?
No, absolutely not. No, I mean, I don't know these people. Is it possible? Yes. Is it possible it's a fake story and it's not true at all? Yeah, absolutely. 1,000%. Mm-hmm. But my job on Facebook is to present a case.
Yeah.
And it's up to the viewer to decide yes or no. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's my job is to present it. And then everybody can come to their own conclusion after reading the article and doing their own research, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. But the people that are, you know, that I deal with on an everyday basis or like they're in my neighbor, my immediate neighborhood. Oh yeah. I've seen these people are messed, man. it's easier for me to see because I'm in a small community as opposed maybe to, you know, have, you know, if I was still living in Toronto, but
well, plus you're a paramedic. So you have that kind of sense.
Yeah.
If you attended a scene and something's wrong, you got to triage in your own mind, don't you? What do you
absolutely.
Do?
Absolutely.
You can't just stare at a guy and say, what do you want me to do for you? You got you have to make your own decisions. And
I have my spidey sense. Yeah. I got my spidey sense when it comes to the medical stuff. So I see it, man. I see the guy who moved my office into my place here. When I bought the brand new office furniture, he's 23 years old. He had a heart attack right after 10 hours after getting the Pfizer vaccine.
Oh,
he was
yeah.
in the ER. Yeah,
oh,
I told
yeah.
you guys. It,
That's
I,
right,
this
yeah.
guy, this is, yeah, this is like real life, man. This the guy, I told you, he was coming up the stairs. He was out of breath.
Right.
You know, and I wasn't even breathing hard because I was helping him out. I was like, well, what's wrong, man? How come you're out of breath? And he was not a overweight guy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what caught me a little surprised that he was out of breath. And he goes, I have myocarditis now from the Pfizer vaccine. He goes, 10 hours after I got it, I had chest pain and I went to the Cape Breton Regional Emergency Room and I was like, holy shit, no way. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, wow. So yeah, I see it. I see it right here in my own neighborhood. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got your own visual firsthand evidence. That's good enough for you. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other guy, Freddie Pye, who's probably one of the most public vaccine injured guys here in Cape Breton Island. He showed me his leg. He had a cut. I went to his house. I went to go visit him mm-hmm. and he has a cut on his leg and the blood that was coming out of the cut wasn't normal blood. It looked like molasses. That's how thick the blood was.
Mm.
So like, and this was like 5 minutes after he got the Pfizer vaccine. He was in the back of an ambulance going to the emergency room. Yeah.
What did you think was in the blood? What's your?
Well, it's his red blood cells that are coagulating. Mm-hmm. It's no different than a cyclist, let's say, for example, dying because he took too much EPO, performance enhancing drug. So what the EPO does is stimulates red blood cell production. But sometimes if they take too much, it stimulates too much red blood cells. So what happens is there's too many RBCs in the blood and they coagulate. And then your blood becomes like molasses and then it can't circulate through their body and they die. They have heart attacks as cyclists, right? That's not uncommon. That's a normal thing in the cycling community.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Yeah, it's a normal thing. There's plenty of deaths since the early 1960s
mm-hmm.
of performance enhancing drugs and top Tour de France cyclists. So, but you know, when you have an average of 24 professional athletes dying every single year,
mm-hmm.
From underlying cardiac anomalies. And then all of a sudden you have over, you know, whatever it is, 800 or 700, you're talking, you know, you know, 50 to 100 fold increase in cardiac related deaths from professional athletes. So the the variable here is you know, the vaccine, right? So
and
it's easy to tell. And the reason why they're dying, and this is what I think, my personal opinion on the situation, why does an athlete die?
Mm-hmm.
Because first of all, they are taking probably some kind of performance enhancing drug. Mm-hmm. So when you take that vaccine, what's happening is essentially that vaccine is a poison. So it's damaging the cardiac tissue. And that is in many peer reviewed studies. When you look at, and when you read, actually read them, it's in many peer reviewed studies. It's actually degrading and destroying the cardiac tissue. So what happens is this. They are used to giving 100%. Let's say a Tour de France cyclist. He's used to pedaling at 500 kilowatts, let's say, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he takes the vaccine. It damages his cardiac tissue. He doesn't know this yet. He doesn't know that his cardiac tissue is damaged after he took the second shot or first shot. Now, he goes on a hill. He goes and does a tour. And he still thinks he can do 500 kilowatts. But guess what? That cardiac muscle's damaged. He does all that effort and then bang, he has a heart attack because he does not realize that he has that underlying cardiac anomaly caused by the vaccine. That's why these guys are dying because they simply don't know that they're damaged.
Right.
Yeah.
What's your take on, just quickly on cyclists, what's your take on, the most famous Tour de France guy, the American guy. What's his name, right? Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, they're all drug. They're all drug. Everyone's on drugs in the Tour de France. I mean, you know, doing those hills in the Pyrenees and all these mountains that they're doing, you have to be, to compete as a professional cyclist on the Tour de France, 110% of those guys are on some form of testosterone cypionate, EPO, you know, whatever performance enhancing drug that they're taking. So absolutely. When it comes to performance enhancing drugs, it all started and the masters at it are the Tour de France cyclists or cycling in general. And then it proliferated to the other sports.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you think Lance, all the controversy around him, he's been the best at hiding drug use, do you think, or? One of the best?
Yeah, well, he's, you know, don't forget at the time in the first, I think, couple of Tour de France wins that he had, they never tested really for EPO. That was one of the issues, right? So when they went back and retested his blood because the World Anti-Doping Federation keeps, or USADA keeps, you know, their blood for, I think, a period of 7 or 8 years.
Oh, okay.
Then they go back and then they can go retest it again, right? So, and he's also microdosing testosterone cypionate, right? Which is hard to detect, right? So Lance Armstrong, he got caught. Is he the best cyclist? I think he is because all of them are doping. It wasn't just Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong just was the biggest guy, you know, with the biggest name and the richest guy, at the time. So, he won 7 Tour de France's. And now go look at the history of the top 3 guys in the Tour de France over the last 20 years. They're almost all getting busted at some, you know, they're all getting suspended or, you know, caught by USADA, the United States Anti-Doping Association. So it's normal. Even these big athletes like Usain Bolt, the 100 and 200 meter world gold medalist champion, all these guys, and you pick any sport at the highest levels, they are most likely on performance enhancing drugs. Absolutely. Because why? Because you are dealing with multi-million dollar contracts at stake here. So
are you old enough to remember Ben Johnson? Do you remember that story? Did you think like I did that he just had bad drug managers that they really?
Yeah, he did. Well, he took Deca Durabalin, right? He was on Deca, Winstrol V. You know, if you go look back at the Dubin, remember the Dubin Commission inquiry back in, right? So that was the inquiry that, got his coach, Francis, and, Ben Johnson up on the stand. And then when you listen to them and going through their doses, remember steroid use and abuse at that time, it was kind of still a new thing at that time in the sprinting world. So they really didn't have it dialed in. And Winstrol V, the specific steroid anabolic that he took was more of a long range type of anabolic, and it stayed in the system a little bit too long than anticipated. So that's why he got caught. So he didn't microdose it, and he should have taken an anabolic that would have been out of his system, within 3 to 5 days, preferably, not an anabolic that stays in your system for a couple of months. There's a big difference, right? So now things have gotten a lot more sophisticated with, performance enhancing drugs, but, it's in every sport. It's prevalent. So, and anytime you see a top athlete, no matter what sport it is, they're probably on the gear. That's it. I assume right away they're on the gear.
Yeah, and his competitor at the time was Carl Lewis, and you knew he was on the gear too. He just had better doctors. That's the first thing I thought immediately. I thought, oh man.
Well, he got caught too, right? He got caught too. That's what a lot of people don't know. The undercover story was that Carl Lewis got pinched for amphetamines. He had amphetamines in his system, which is a no-no. But at the time, the commission didn't want the two biggest athletes getting caught. So they kind of swept that under the rug. Mm-hmm. And if you watch the documentary Icarus, which is all about performance, and it's one of the best documentaries on performance enhancing drugs, they show the paperwork that he got caught, that he was caught red-handed with amphetamines at the 1988 Seoul Olympic Games, the same competition that he competed against Ben Johnson. He was caught as well. And they showed the documentation that he was caught, that he's tested positive for amphetamines, but they never said anything.
Oh, that's what it's about. Icarus is a movie from Netflix, 2017.
Yeah, it's amazing. One of the best documentaries you'll ever see on performance-enhancing drugs. Yeah.
Okay, I've never heard of it, but that's going to be a show note now. Show note number 4. For all those following along that like to try and keep track of the show notes, I number them for your convenience. So Icarus, okay, that's the movie I have to watch now. Thank you.
Yeah.
See, not only do we get good info here, you get movie reviews and recommendations.
Well, Icarus is my all-time performance-enhancing drug documentary, as well as Bigger, Stronger, Faster. That was the original.
Okay.
Documentary that was the best in performance enhancing drugs. So it's called Bigger, Stronger, Faster. Oh. And then the movie that I recently watched, and most people are probably not into this, but the fantastic movie, top three of all time that I've ever watched, was actually a little while ago. It's called Shot Caller. One of the best movies I've ever seen. If you like jail movies.
Okay. Hold on. Let me just write down Bigger, Stronger, Faster. I think I watched this one already.
Yeah, that's a good, great documentary as well, by the Bell Brothers.
Yeah, I think I watched that. So that one I watched, that'll be show note number 5. And sorry, what's the last one?
And the last movie, if you guys are into jail movies, Shot Caller. Amazing movie. One of the best, my favorite all-time three movies I've ever seen is Shot Caller.
Nikolai Coster-Waldau. Never heard of any of this stuff. Caller. What is a shot caller?
He's basically, in a nutshell, he's a regular guy. He's a banker on the street. He gets caught for drinking and driving accident, and then he goes to jail.
Right.
And then he becomes the boss in jail of the Aryan Brotherhood.
Romantic, and they're free. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
This looks like the right movie?
Yeah, that's it there.
Never heard any of this stuff either. So this is all about drug use? Is that really?
No, well, Shot Caller is just about, like, if you guys are looking for a great, great, great movie to watch on the weekend,
mm-hmm.
and you're bored and you got nothing else to do, Shot Caller is an amazing movie. Amazing. What an amazing movie. They did it beautiful.
Did it do well? Because I've never heard of it. I'm just out of it, probably. That's my problem.
Yeah. It's a great movie. If you and the wife got some time, honestly, sit down and watch Shot Caller. You guys, you will not be disappointed.
And finally, what is your take on steroid use for athlete enhancement? Are you for it or against it? Because the government's against it, is that the right stance? Should we?
No, you know what? It's a personal issue. If you're old enough to, you know, and you're an adult, let's say, for example, and you want to take performance enhancing drugs at the gym, go ahead. But there's consequences to this kind of stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, a free for all where you can take 3 grams of testosterone cypionate and Anadrol and think you're going to be healthy later on in life. So the thing is, am I for it or against it? I'm for freedom is what I'm for. If you want to take them, go ahead. In the world of sport, they should just banning these drugs is not doing anything because all these guys are still using them. So for me, I wouldn't even bother, having USADA, the U.S. Anti-Doping Association in any of the sports. I would just let them do what they want. They're adults. They're grown men. And some people are going to say it's cheating. But if not, it's not cheating if everybody's using performance enhancing drugs. And to be quite honest with you guys, everybody's using them, right? Go to any professional sports teams. Look at the UFC pre-USADA days. I think it was, pre-2014. All those guys are jacked, right? Now, again, you're going to have an argument coming up where if little Timmy wants to go fight in the UFC and he doesn't want to take steroids, mm-hmm. now he's competing against all these guys who are on steroids. That's not fair. And I agree with that. That's not fair. But
maybe you should have two leagues.
Maybe they should have the steroid league and then the all natural league. I don't know what the answer is, but for the average person, you know, when I was younger, I took testosterone cypionate to see, you know, how it was. So I don't have a problem with it. I was an adult. I did it myself to see what kind of effects I would get. I had tremendous effects, tremendous strength and endurance effects. And if you're an adult and you know the bad consequences that can happen from it and you're a critical thinker, go ahead and use it in a respectful way, not in a way that's going to destroy and hurt your health.
Okay. That's what I kind of thought you'd say that. Yeah, I'm sort of the same way, live and let live. But yeah, the government just thinks they have to send messages to the world or the population or the youth that they can't endorse it. But I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be 14 years old or 15, taking anabolic steroids or any kind of performance enhancers. I think, I don't know if I agree with that. I think they should be at the adult level first and then make that decision on their own as adults and have the freedom to decide what they want to do with their own body and inject in their own body. So that's how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we got a lot out of you tonight. That's a good call. Good call. A lot of information here. We got a lot of movie reviews. I'm going to check out those movies now. And Guy, I'm interested in the story. I'm definitely, it's a big deal and it's an ongoing deal. So yeah, good show tonight. And
see you Thursday.
Yeah, we'll see you Thursday. And thanks again
for having me, man.
Pinching in. I just called you at the last minute and you were there. So that's great.
Yeah, have a good one. And I'll catch up with all you guys on Thursday.
All right, perfect. Thank you, Tiago. Thanks. All the best. And thanks for everyone for joining. The Ecologist Show is another one's in the can. Great show tonight. It was totally impromptu. Didn't know who was going to come by. And I'm always excited when we get new voices or repeat voices. And of course, everyone loves Tiago. Look at that. Fans all over the place. And what a wide spectrum of knowledge that guy has. Fantastic. Okay. Once more, I like to get your feedback, fakeologist.com. All the links on the main page will guide you to where to donate, where to watch the live streams, archives, podcasts, you name it. It's there. And we'll see you tomorrow. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Have a good night.